Welcome to the Josh Meister's Lost podcast, the audio version of the Josh Meister's Lost blog, which you can find at thelostmeister.blogspot.com. Hey everybody, this is the Josh Meister, and welcome back to the Josh Meister's Lost podcast. We just got finished watching Season 6, Episode 8, which was called Recon, and it was a Sawyer-centric episode. It's about time we got one. I think a lot of people have been waiting for a Sawyer episode for a while. And I really liked it. I thought this was a really good episode. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. Just some other things to kind of give you an overview of what we're going to talk about tonight. There's a couple of episodes from season 4 that I had a chance to rewatch this past week. And so I'm going to just share a couple of little notes and thoughts related to the smoke monster that were revealed in these episodes that maybe we didn't pick up as being directly related to the smoke monster at the time. And kind of now that we have more context of who the smoke monster is, I thought it might be interesting to kind of go back and rewatch a couple of those episodes related to the smoke monster. So, we'll just spend just a couple of minutes on that. Then we'll dive into the, review of Recon, the new episode we just watched. And then we'll get into, there's a lot of notes from the official Lost podcast this week. There were some things that if you were just casually listening to the podcast, you might have missed. And so we're going to discuss some of those things in a little bit more detail and some of the implications of the things that Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse said in that show. And finally, we're going to round it out with the preview for next week and what was revealed in the preview. So stick around for that. All right. So first of all, we're going to jump into, as I mentioned, kind of a very, very briefly, I'm going to go through some points in two episodes in season 4. And those episodes are season 4, episode 9, The Shape of Things to Come, and then episode 10, Something Nice Back Home. And the reason I actually went back to watch these particular episodes was because I was looking, we've had a discussion a couple of weeks ago about Claire and when exactly she became infected and whether there was any evidence of that in the episode where her home at New Etherton got blown up and she was inside, or whether there was anything after that, you know, prior to Christian Shepherd, you know, showing up in the jungle and abducting her, basically, or leading her away from her, you know, from her baby and so forth. So that was the reason that I went back to watch these episodes. But here's some additional notes regarding, first of all, The Shape of Things to Come. So how is it that Ben can summon the smoke monster to do his bidding? If you remember in this episode, Ben went into this little room in his house in New Etherton, did something. We didn't see what it was. He summoned the smoke monster, and it came and killed several, or at least mauled a lot of Kimi's men and gave Ben and his friends, you know, a chance to get away. So how in the world did Ben summon the smoke monster? We know more about how he did it, but what I mean is, you know, if Ben works for Jacob, you know, it just seems so weird. He doesn't even realize at this point in time, I don't think, that the smoke monster is against Jacob, that they're on opposite sides. Cause he told Locke in a later episode, I don't even know what the smoke monster is. I think it was a later episode, sometime after that. But anyway, so how did Ben know that the smoke monster would only attack Martin Kimi's goons and not himself? At the time, Ben and the viewing audience had no idea that the smoke monster was another form of the Man in Black, who is Jacob's nemesis. So unbeknownst to Ben, he called on Jacob's nemesis for help right before trying to get help from Jacob to know what to do next. Which is kind of weird, like going back and like, you know, reviewing that in context. Here's some thoughts related to the next episode after that, season 4, episode 10, Something Nice Back Home. Hurley said that Charlie said that someone would visit Jack. So, as a refresher, Jack went to visit Hurley at Santa Rosa, the Mental Health Institute, and Hurley told Jack that Charlie had said someone would be visiting Jack, and that person, of course, was Christian Shepherd, in quotation marks. And Jack had already seen him prior to meeting with Hurley. He had already seen Christian Shepherd in a crowd at the hospital before that. And the second time, this was after visiting Hurley, he saw his father again after hearing the smoke alarm's low battery warning beep at the hospital. So, and the smoke alarm led a lot of fans to believe at the time that Christian was a manifestation of the smoke monster, which, you know, naturally that makes a lot of sense. Christian being the smoke monster is corroborated by Damon Lindelof's passive remark in the recent Official Lost podcast about the smoke monster no longer being able to take on any human form other than Locke, and the form of Christian was specifically mentioned. Carlton Cuse actually is the one who brought it up first, and then Damon repeated, Christian Shepherd. So a little clarification on that. It seems as though that was the smoke monster manifesting himself in someplace off of the island in that particular instance. Okay. Additionally, in Something Nice Back Home, we also saw Christian luring Claire into the jungle, after which she left her baby behind and eventually degenerated into an infected Rousseau-esque version of herself who considered the Man in Black to be her friend. So it would make sense that she came to be the Man in Black's friend because she originally got to know him when he was taking the form of Christian Shepherd. And if that's the case, you know, how did Charlie know? And, you know, again, going back to what Hurley told Jack about how Charlie had someone would be visiting Jack, how did Charlie know that the smoke monster was coming to visit Jack? Hurley's ability to see and speak with dead people is supposedly a gift from Jacob. So did Jacob tell Charlie to tell Hurley to warn Jack about the smoke monster apparition of Jack's father? So I don't know. I just thought that was a bit interesting for Charlie to be passing along this message to Jack. And yet this, it was, you know, I don't know. Hurley's whole ability to talk to Charlie, even though he's dead, is apparently a gift from Jacob, and yet Charlie knows that the smoke monster is going to be visiting Jack. It's very, very weird. And it almost makes me wonder if they didn't quite know where they were going with this at the time. Like, maybe it was, they just thought that, you know, well, Christian Shepherd is dead, Charlie is dead, and so therefore it wouldn't make, you know, it makes sense that Charlie would be able to talk with Christian Shepherd and know that he was going to be visiting Jack or something like that. But in any case, so I don't know whether the writers sort of got confused or didn't know how everything was all going to play out at that point, or whether it just is one of those like weird, hard to wrap your head around mysteries that will never be resolved. All right. Well, anyway, let's get into this week's episode, Recon. We start out in 2007 on the island. Jenny Lynn, by the way, in the chat, has a theory that Charlie, maybe was the smoke monster visiting Hurley. That's a good theory. All right. So we start out in 2007 on the island. Sawyer is at Claire's hovel with Jin. It's just the two of them together there. And, Jin wakes up and sees Sawyer and says they need to go before the man who looks like Locke gets back. And Sawyer says that he's with this Locke, who he explains, that he knows it's not really Locke, but he's with him, or on his side, in other words. Sawyer agrees not to leave the island unless Sun can go with him. So, basically he says, you know, this guy says he can get us off the island, and Jin's like, well, I'm not going to go if Sun might be here. And so Sawyer agrees that they won't leave the island unless Sun can go with them. Saeed, Claire, and the rest come back. They come to the hovel. I guess it's probably the first time that, I guess it is. Yeah. The first time that Saeed has been there, for sure. Kate says hi to Sawyer. Her reply is, hi yourself. he didn't seem super cold, but I mean, just the line itself, seemed a bit cold. And so Kate just kind of keeps walking past him. And that seems to change a little bit after some things that he sees and kind of experiences later in the episode. All right. So 2004, in a flash sideways timeline, which at first, you know, in spite of this entire season, all of the, you know, instead of flashbacks, we've had flash sideways. I, for a brief moment, thought that we were actually getting a flashback, because Sawyer seemed to be pulling a typical con, the same thing that we've seen him do over and over again, where he's in bed with somebody and then, you know, he's late for a meeting. He dumps out the briefcase accidentally on the bed and it's got all this money that pours out. And it turns out that this time he's actually a cop and he's working with Miles. So this, what looks like his typical con is actually a setup to catch, a con man's wife. So that was an interesting twist. So Sawyer is actually a cop in the Flash Sideways timeline. And by the way, a lot of people, at least some people I remember were asking about, you know, how did Sawyer know about the code that they used in the airport? If you remember on the walkie-talkies, the people who are trying to, you know, to find Kate in the airport after she escapes from the marshal. There was some code that was mentioned on the walkie-talkies, and Sawyer knew what that code meant, and that, you know, they were referring to Kate having escaped. And, I remember somebody wondered, you know, well, what's the deal with that? Like, why would Sawyer know that code? Well, that explains it, because Sawyer is a cop. So, in this flash sideways timeline, which is interesting, I think. In 2007, Claire checks on her squirrel baby, and Kate sees her doing this and asks about it. And Claire, you know, kind of explains that's all I had. And Claire seems really upset with Kate still. And so, you know, obviously the first thing that comes to mind is, does Claire still want to kill Kate? I mean, if you remember, you know, she said that she was going to kill Kate if what Jen said was true, that she had raised Aaron, and then Kate confesses all of this when they're in the temple, and then, you know, Claire hasn't killed Kate yet, but it just seemed like she was kind of on the edge of, on the verge of getting angry enough to be able to attack. But, so the man in black, tells the folks who came from the temple, who chose to be on his side, that, which include, by the way, Cindy and, Emma and Zach. And he tells them that the black smoke killed the people who stayed behind at the temple. Somebody had a question of, you know, I think maybe it was Cindy actually, who asked, what happened to the people who stayed behind? And the man in black says the black smoke killed them. And then he, promises to take care of them. And he actually kneels down in front of Emma and Zach. And it's so weird, like, seeing him playing this role of a good guy. And, I think the writers are trying to make us wonder if maybe the man in black isn't such a bad guy after all. I mean, I think the overwhelming amount of evidence, against him seems to indicate that he's a bad guy still, but, you know, they're giving us these little hints that, you know, maybe he has a good side to him. Maybe he's not all bad. In 2004, Detective Ford is trying to track down Anthony Cooper. He's making some phone calls, and he tells his partner Miles that, he's trying to get a hold of Anthony Cooper because it's an old friend who's going to give him some Laker tickets. And it turned out that, later in the episode, we find out that that was actually kind of a little mini con. He didn't want to reveal to Miles the truth about what he was doing in trying to track down Anthony Cooper. So it wasn't, in fact, that, you know, they were really friends in this alternate timeline. That was just something he told Miles to kind of get him off his back. So 2007, the man in black tells Sawyer the truth. And says that he's the smoke thing. He takes Sawyer aside privately so they can talk, and he explains that he is the smoke thing. And he says this is a really interesting line, I think. He says, it's either kill or be killed, and I don't want to be killed. So if the man in black is concerned about being killed, he's either lying about that to Sawyer, and he knows he can't be killed or whatever, or he must have a weakness. And if he has a weakness, of course, you know, that leads us to wonder, well, what is his weakness? I don't know if we necessarily know or have enough kind of evidence to guess at what his weakness might be, except that, you know, the man in black and Jacob seem very similar in many, many ways. And so I wonder if whoever is kind of the person who's reporting to the man in black, kind of like how Ben was somebody who had been a leader who was, he was the kind of the loophole. He was able to kill Ben, even though the man in black couldn't kill Ben himself. He had to talk somebody into it. Maybe the way to kill the man in black is to get his, sort of, you know, whoever works for him to kill him. And, cause I know, you know, obviously we found that Saeed couldn't kill the man in black when he was sort of doing it for Dogen. But maybe if Sawyer is kind of the head guy, you know, under Locke, you know, fake Locke, maybe he's the one who will be able to kill the man in black. Just a thought about that. Jenny Lynn in the chat says, that he, meaning I think the smoke monster, the man in black, is trying to con Sawyer by telling him half truths. And, Bailey Bear in the chat says, Sawyer is a better con man than Smokey. And then, so in this conversation, the man in black sends Sawyer to the Hydra Island to do some recon. And of course, that's the name of the episode. At the Ajira plane. And, by the way, one of the things from the official podcast, it's not a spoiler, but it's just kind of an explanation for the name of this episode. They did explain what the term recon means, but then they also said that recon, rather than just meaning reconnaissance, could also mean to recon, to con again. And, of course, you know, being a Sawyer-centric episode, we saw a lot of cons in this episode. In 2004, the date that, so Miles hooks up James with a date, and we find out that it's Charlotte Lewis, who is still an archaeologist. And, Bailey Bear and I both thought the same thing we were discussing before we started recording, that, we've totally thought that this was going to be the moment where Juliet, you know, shows up in the flash sideways and she says something to Sawyer about, you know, we can go Dutch, you know, that line that she said to Sawyer as she died on the island. I still think that line is going to probably come out in the show at some point, like, you know, in a flash sideways, that Sawyer will meet up with Juliet and that line will be exchanged. But in any case, that wasn't the case with this particular date. Miles actually hooked up James with Charlotte, which is kind of funny because, of course, Miles and Charlotte know each other in the in this other timeline that we've been used to. It's hard to call it the original timeline because, you know, I don't know. The way the executive producers keep talking about it, like, they want us to kind of think of it. I mean, not just on the official podcast, but in all kinds of interviews, they keep saying that we want you to think of this not as, they basically say they're going to be resolved is how they keep kind of putting it. And, anyway, so whatever you want to make of that, we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to that point in the show, but. Diesel929 in the chat has, kind of a crackpot theory that, Charlotte is Jack's ex-wife and David's mom in the flash sideways. And, he says, I have no proof. Jenny Lynn, has, an interesting theory as well that maybe the line from Juliet is actually going to be, from Juliet being on a date with Jack. All right. So, Sawyer, or well, I should say James, because he doesn't go by Sawyer in the alternate timeline, but, Jim is talking to Charlotte and says that, he got to the point in his life where he was either going to become a criminal or become a cop, and he chose to become a cop. Anyway, they end up hooking up that night, and, you know, Charlotte asks if she can borrow a t-shirt, and she sees some books on the dresser. I guess it's not really what she was looking at, but I mean, maybe it was, but they really focused a lot on the books. I could easily, clearly, watching the television, read two of the book titles and then was able to get the other one by looking at a screen cap later. But the two that were obvious were Watership Down was on top and Lancelot was on the bottom. And looking at the screenshot, I'll paste an image. This is from Get Lost Podcast. And it was, on Dark UFO's, Lost Easter Eggs site. The middle book, the book that's in the middle of the stack, is A Wrinkle in Time. Now, all three of these books are ones that Sawyer has read on the island. So it's, kind of interesting that he's still reading the same books, especially since, like, A Wrinkle in Time in particular is kind of, I don't know. It's at least it's often viewed as kind of children's literature, but in any case, so it's interesting. His book choices off of the island are the same as when he was stranded on the island. Okay, so Charlotte finds a photo of Sawyer with his parents, and then she, you know, looks further and she sees a newspaper clipping about it and so forth. Sawyer comes out and sees her looking at these things. He yells at her and makes her leave. Later in the episode, I didn't take notes, at that exact point in the episode, but, later in the episode, he tries to, you know, go to her house and apologize and so forth after watching, a Little House on the Prairie episode, I believe it was, which, was funny because Sawyer and Carl, I think a long time ago, had a conversation about Little House on the Prairie or something like that. In any case, so basically the moral of the discussion or the conversation that was it Michael Landon? Is that the name of the actor? He's having with this little girl on the show and is telling her basically, you know, it's okay when somebody dies, you know, they're not really gone. You have their memories until you see them again. You know, you can remember, your interactions with that person until you ultimately are reunited with that person, talking about presumably the afterlife, of course. And, so Sawyer kind of gets a little emotional. And my wife and I were totally thinking during that scene, like, what are you kidding me? Like this little old episode of Little House on the Prairie is really what a guy like Sawyer is going to be watching, you know, when he's having his TV dinner in the evening like that. I don't know. That was a little bit hard to believe, but, in any case, so he tries to go make up with Charlotte and she rejects him and says, you blew it. And I think that was actually right before, Sawyer goes into the sub or something like that when that scene happened, but all right. So, 2007, Sawyer finds the dress that Kate wore at the polar bear cage. He's made it to the Hydra Island, which is what, the Man in Black said he wanted Sawyer to do. The Man in Black had sent Sawyer to the Hydra Island to do some recon, as I mentioned. And so now Sawyer's at the Hydra Island and he sees Kate's old dress at the polar bear cage, the one that she was wearing when they hooked up in the cages, in the dirty, nasty polar bear cages. And, so obviously he has, you know, thoughts go through his head about this and he seems to be pondering what happened between, Kate and himself, you know, as he's holding this dress. And, Kate talks to Saeed and asks, are you all right? And, Saeed says, no. And then Claire comes up and attacks and tries to stab Kate. The Man in Black pulls Claire off, smacks her in the face, and tells her that what she did was, I don't know if this is the exact word, inappropriate or something to that effect anyway. And, he's, with the exception of smacking her in the face, almost treating her like a child and the other things that he's saying to her, like, you know, the way that he's kind of breaking up the fight and talking to her, he's talking to her like a child, which is kind of interesting. I don't quite know what to make of that. But Sawyer finds, meanwhile, the Ajira plane wreckage and then a pile of dead bodies, and a woman runs by. And Sawyer catches the woman, and she says that she's the only one left. So the pile of dead bodies, we don't really get a clear explanation of that in the show. But, you know, this woman, you know, later says that she basically kind of implies, without directly saying it, that maybe the smoke monster did it. She said she heard screams, and when she got back, everyone was dead. And, you know, however, we also find out that she works for Charles Widmore. There's all these guys with guns and so forth. So what really happened to those people? You know, did Widmore's people kill them? I mean, are they just kind of crazy mercenary, kill everybody and ask questions later type people like Kimi? Or, you know, was it really the smoke monster who killed those people? So in 2004, back in an alternate timeline or flash sideways, Charlie's brother Liam shows up at the police station trying to find Charlie, who apparently has gotten in trouble with the law because of his drug use, which is not surprising because, of course, he was caught with drugs on the airplane. Miles questions what Jim was doing in Australia instead of Palm Springs, like he claimed. And, Miles says that he's no longer Jim's partner. He's got to trust his partner basically, and he can't trust Jim because he lied about having gone to Palm Springs when he was actually in Australia and so forth. And, you know, the interesting thing too there is my wife and I, and apparently Sawyer from one of his lines, totally thought that Miles was going to get on Sawyer's case or on Jim's case about, what happened the night before with Charlotte. But instead he jumps, you know, on his case about Australia instead. So 2007, the woman, that Sawyer's been talking to says her name is Zoe and she heard screams when she got back. Everyone was dead. Sawyer offers to take her back with the other group. The man in black apologizes to Kate and explains that he told Claire that the others had her baby. And the man in black says to Kate that he gave Claire something to hate, which, you know, he's basically explaining to Kate, like, why Claire came and attacked Kate. You know, basically she was redirecting her anger that she had towards the others. Now that she knows that Kate is actually the one who had the baby, she's redirecting that hate toward Kate. And anyway, so Kate asks where Sawyer went, and the man in black says, "I'll show you." Meanwhile, it turns out that Zoe isn't alone. A bunch of other people pop up from behind bushes with big guns and make Sawyer surrender his weapon. And Sawyer says, "Take me to your leader." Meanwhile, back with the man in black and Kate, they're now on the beach. They sit down together and, the man in black says to Kate, "I know what you're going through because my mother was crazy." And he says, you know, "A long time ago, I had a mother too." He says, "She was a very disturbed woman. And as a result of that, I had some growing pains, problems that I'm still trying to work my way through. Problems that could have been avoided had things been different." So this is the first revelation I think that we've gotten about the man in black's previous life, like prior to becoming this, you know, man in black on the island, what his real life was like. For a moment, I almost thought that maybe he was channeling Locke for a moment and kind of, talking as though he was Locke and talking about, you know, Emily Locke, his, you know, Locke's mother, and how she was a very disturbed woman and so forth. And he had growing pains because of that. But it seems that the man in black was really talking about his own personal mother, his own family situation. Kate asks, "Why are you telling me this?" And he says, "Because now Aaron has a crazy mother too." And so that line, there's a couple of ways to interpret that. Either the man in black wants Kate to take care of Aaron so that Aaron doesn't become, you know, this guy with issues like the man in black is because of his mother who was crazy. Or maybe rather than him wanting Kate to take care of Aaron, maybe what it means is that Aaron is going to become the next man in black, possibly, because he has a similar situation. The man in black had a crazy mother. Aaron has a crazy mother, you know. Maybe that's kind of what they're hinting at here, is that Aaron could become the next man in black. Fortunately for Aaron, he's off of the island, and the man in black does not have any direct access to Aaron at the moment. I kind of think that maybe what was meant by the man in black's comment was that he does want Kate to take care of Aaron. You know, kind of a compassionate moment rather than, you know, him being some evil character in every way imaginable. I think they're again trying to kind of play at this, making the audience believe that the man in black actually is a real human and has, you know, a positive side to him. Jenny Lynn has a comment, kind of a general comment about the characters. She says, again, I think our Losties friendships are really going to define the end of the show. The line at the end of season 5, they come, they destroy, the man in black is going to be wrong, and their friendships are going to run deeper than he thought, and it will all start over. I'm interested in what you mean, Jenny Lynn, about it all starting over. Like if the whole thing is going to start over with Aaron being the new man in black, or whether you mean the Jacob versus man in black is going to start over, like something is going to start again. New game, says Jenny Lynn. Bailey Bear, always with interesting insights into the show, and comments that blow my mind, like things I've never even thought of. Bailey Bear says, remember Claire came to Kate and said, don't bring him back to the island. Do you think she was Smokey? That's, you know, I would be willing to bet that that's probably what happened in that scene. However, so Bailey Bear continues, if you think that Smokey wants a normal Aaron, that would make sense, right? But at this, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's true. I totally agree that if the smoke monster wants Aaron to have a normal life, to have a normal parent, then don't bring Aaron back to the island, right? I mean, that makes sense. And that's consistent with the idea that maybe, he's looking out for Aaron's good when he's talking to Kate in this episode. But at the same time, I don't know. It's just weird. Like, why would he care that much about Aaron to send, you know, to kind of appear to Kate as this apparition of Claire and say, you know, don't bring my baby back to the island or something. I don't know. But anyway, a very, very interesting observation about the Claire visitation that Kate had off island. All right. So continuing on. In 2007, Sawyer asks, you know, he enters the sub, and is on his way to meet Widmore, and he asks what's locked up. There's this door in the sub, and, I've got a screenshot that I'll post in the chat, and of course it'll be in the show notes for this episode as well. Basically, the door is about the height of a human, and there are at least two padlocks on this door, keeping it shut. And Sawyer kind of yanks on one of the padlocks and asks about this door. Of course, they don't answer him as to what it is that's behind the door, the locked door. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so Jenny Lynn asks a question about something that happened in one of the alternate timelines when Miles says he's no longer Jim's partner, and right after that Sawyer smashes a mirror. And so Jenny Lynn's question is, the mirror in this episode Sawyer broke, what do you make of that? I don't know. I honestly, I didn't think much of it. However, you know, if there was some meaning behind that, I mean, I could see that maybe there could be some meaning behind that, because we've seen, you know, for instance, Jack, looking into a mirror at himself, you know, a few times, and kind of he keeps having these moments where he's like looking at his scars or his shaving cut or whatever. And sort of having deja vu or something like that anyway, about the other timeline. So I don't know. I don't know if there's any significance to Sawyer smashing the mirror or not. Bailey Bear says, maybe he doesn't like his image in this world. Jenny Lynn says, Ben in microwave, Kate in mirror. So they all seem to be seeing reflections of themselves. Another one to add to that is, in Geronimo Jack's beard for, a couple of episodes ago, the Said-centric episode, there was a line in the script that said there was something off about Said's reflection. So there was a reflection of Said also in that episode. It kind of reminds me of, Through the Looking Glass, which of course is an Alice in Wonderland book, and, also, well, or is it the book? I don't know. I'm not quite so familiar with that literature off the top of my head, but, Through the Looking Glass, of course, is, you know, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. And it's also, of course, the name of an episode title of, an episode of Lost. But, yeah, it kind of makes me think like maybe this alternate timeline or this flash sideways is, if we were to like read through the Looking Glass, we would see some sort of parallel with the Lost storyline and maybe be able to get some clue as to what's going on with the flash sideways. I don't know. Just an idea about that. Okay. So in the sub, Charles Widmore introduces himself, to Sawyer, and, Widmore claims that he didn't murder all the Ajira people. And, he even makes some comment about how, you know, Sawyer doesn't really know what's going on. You know, he makes these assumptions, or maybe he's misinformed about, you know, the mercenaries that Charles Widmore sent to the island and so forth. And Sawyer makes a deal with Widmore to bring the Man in Black to Widmore so that Widmore can kill him. And in return, Sawyer gets to take his friends unharmed off the island, and they shake on it. And so the question is, you know, or at least at this point in the episode that I had was, so who will Sawyer ultimately decide to follow? You know, he has two ways off the island, potentially. Widmore's way, at least to me, seems more certain, since we actually know he has a working sub. He knows how to get to the island from the outside world. But as Sawyer points out, Widmore may not be trustworthy because he sent the freighter with mercenaries to the island and so forth. On the other hand, the Man in Black's plan seems pretty weak if he really expects to fix and refuel the Ajira plane. I mean, how on earth could they do that? I don't know. Like, how could they fix it, refuel it, and everything, and get off the island that through the Ajira plane? So maybe Sawyer will go with the more logical escape from the island. By the way, I don't know if I mentioned it. I intended to say it at the top of the show, but happy Ajira Day to everybody who's listening live. It's actually the day of Lost airing is March, which is the third month, and the 16th day of the month. So it's 3/16. So happy Ajira Day. All right. So meanwhile, in 2007, Claire hugs Kate and apologizes sincerely, saying she knows Kate just cares about Claire and Aaron, you know, about herself and Aaron. And Kate kind of is a little nervous about Claire approaching, but, you know, ultimately she hugs Claire back. And it seems as though the Man in Black had a lot of influence on Claire and kind of helping to change her mind. Okay. So Sawyer tells the Man in Black that they're setting up pylons, like the ones at New Otherton, which, you know, that was a revelation to me because I hadn't noticed them doing that. But, in any case, that's what Sawyer says that they're doing. He tells this to the Man in Black. So I guess for all we know, I mean, that could be a con too. Who knows? But, you know, the pylons, like the ones at New Otherton, that can keep out that smoke thing. And, so Sawyer seems to be giving the Man in Black a lot of information, and it seems like he really is, sticking with the Man in Black's deal at this point in the episode. In the 2004 Flash Sideways, this is the last one we'll talk about, Jim hands Miles a book that says Sawyer on the front of it, and Miles asks, who's Sawyer? Jim explains what happened to his parents, and Jim says that he was in Australia and on Flight 815 in this alternate timeline, or in the Flash Sideways timeline, to find the man responsible for his parents' death. And that's where he heard the name Anthony Cooper. And so Jim says that he's going to kill Anthony Cooper when he finds him. And, you know, he knew that Miles wouldn't like that and would try to stop him or something like that. Miles says, yeah, basically. And then right after this conversation, someone, you know, a car skids into their car, just slams right into it. And, Sawyer, or well, Jim, I should say, chases after this person. And it turns out it's Kate. And Jim seems pleased to see her again. And, and again, as I mentioned earlier, now we know why he knew the code in the airport that meant Kate was an escapee. He's a cop. And so he was a cop the first time that he actually met Kate, through their whole like conversation in the airport and the elevator and all that kind of stuff, he was a cop all along and was letting Kate get away, basically. In 2007 on the island, Sawyer tells Kate about Widmore and that, you know, Widmore and his team is there for Locke. And Sawyer says he's going to let them fight it out. And while they've got their hands full of each other, you and me are going to get the hell off this island is what he says. And he says that his, you know, so Kate asks, what, you know, do you really think we can take this plane off the island? And Sawyer reveals his plan that he's intending to take the sub. And so that pretty much wraps up this episode. And we've already kind of talked about a couple of the screenshots and Easter eggs with the books and the locked door on the sub and so forth. So again, I'll have links to screenshots of those things in the show notes for this episode of the podcast. All right. So next up, we're going to talk about the official Lost podcast and kind of get into some of the revelations from this week's official Lost audio podcast. And so there are some things that we'll be discussing that could be considered spoilers. I mean, they're all things directly from or based on, you know, my kind of interpretations of the things that the executive producers talked about. So, but if you do consider the official Lost podcast stuff to sometimes contain spoilers, you may want to stop listening at this point. So just a warning about that. They talked about how, I think Damon said the big question that's hanging over the season is how are these two timelines going to reconcile? And what are we to make of what's going on in the Sideways? But there obviously are, or he says there's more information about those things coming as the season progresses. I think it was Damon who said that. It might have been Carlton. I didn't write that down. And then Damon says, do you think that Charles Widmore is perhaps the person that Jacob was referring to back in Lighthouse when he said someone is coming to the island? And Carlton Q said, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good chance he could be referring to Charles Widmore. That would be my educated guess, is what he says. So apparently Jacob wanted Charles Widmore to come to the island based on what the executive producers are saying, if you kind of read between the lines, which you kind of have to whenever they give answers to things on the show. Okay. So Carlton Cuse says in the episode Lockdown, this is a question that was posed by a fan, so Carlton is reading this question. In the episode Lockdown, who was responsible or behind the dropping of the pallet of Dharma food that lands on the island? And Damon Lindelof says, the answer to the question is, we have every intention of answering where the pallet came from. However, it might not happen in the actual show itself. And I think Carlton at that point said something like, that's right. And then Damon continued, that's all we're willing to say at this point. So here's my interpretation of that. If they're not going to reveal the answer to it in the show, but they have every intention of answering where the pallet came from, then either they're planning on having like an episode of the official podcast after the show ends, where they kind of explain a lot of the things they didn't have time to explain in the show. Or maybe the writers and producers are planning to make some sort of a book or documentary that resolves a lot of the loose ends and mysteries that weren't answered by the end of season six. I don't know. We'll see what their plans are, but, I know they said that they weren't planning to go to Comic-Con again, at least not as a panel, because the show's not going to be on anymore. But so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see whether they have, some sort of additional, alternate reality game or something like that. I have a hard time imagining that ABC would invest money into that unless they thought it would be a really good way to like promote, you know, the sale of, like the full, you know, presumably they'll do some sort of a full 6-season box set that maybe will have some extra exclusives or something like that. And who knows? I mean, maybe that's where they'll reveal these extra things, is in some sort of like a big box set exclusive of the entire series. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. But at some point, they do plan on answering what happened with that palette in the episode Lockdown, which is cool. All right. So Carlton indicated that Annie is not an important character. Of course, you know, she was this character from a Ben flashback on the island. They said she was only meant to be in that one episode in Ben's flashback. This is not a direct quote at this part, and that her character has, quote, no mythological significance, end quote. So I would say that we can probably assume that all of the theories about Annie are probably, you know, moot. I mean, it's kind of pointless to speculate anymore about anything related to Annie at this point, because, they've revealed that she's not an important character. She has no vast mythological significance. They did say that Annie probably left the island before 1977, because we didn't see her or even hear any mention of her in that time frame, when the Losties, you know, were traveling back to that time. Carlton said that we're going to learn more about the volcanic and or seismic activity of the island before all is said and done, which it seems like when he says that, it usually means by the end of the series, which in this case means also the end of the season. But I don't know. I kind of wonder if maybe he could be referring to this, you know, extra, wherever they're going to be revealing the extra events. They didn't come out and say that, so it kind of is implied that they're going to be talking about that or going into that at some point by the end of the season. Regarding Kate's name not being crossed out in the lighthouse, but being crossed out in the caves, they say the show speaks for itself. And they say when the man in black brings Sawyer into the cave, is he telling the truth? Damon feels that there's strong evidence on the show that Jacob wrote the names in the cave. So why write in both the caves and the lighthouse? So this is a direct quote from Damon here. Is it possible, Carlton, that maybe he wanted his nemesis to find the cave, and that there's a little bit of misdirection going on here? That maybe he crossed off Kate's name in the cave to throw the monster off his scent? Carlson replied, I'm going to say that theory could live. I think that is a possibility. I think this kind of speculation is actually good speculation. So reading between the lines there, it sounds like what they're saying in an indirect way, and this is just my opinion, and you know, but it sounds like they're kind of giving away that maybe Jacob might have secret plans for Kate to be the one who will ultimately replace him. that maybe that is what Jacob's plan is, you know, for sort of to have her be a secret candidate that the Man in Black doesn't know about. I did notice that it was interesting in this episode, though, how the Man in Black seemed to be sort of taking, you know, special care of Kate. You know, he singles her out and is talking to her an awful lot in this episode. He goes to the trouble of taking her to the beach and telling her about, you know, his, just a little bit of his backstory, which is the first time that he's ever done this. And, so I don't know. I kind of wonder if maybe he does know that there's something special about Kate. All right. Also going on from the official podcast, they brought up Alana's comment about the Man in Black now being stuck in Locke's form. And they said that comment has created some confusion. And, so the answer to that is this. It seems that if he were stuck in this form, I think this was Damon, by the way, who said this, that would sort of rule out the possibility that the monster had been appearing as perhaps other dead figures on the island, Yemi, and then Carlton interjected Christian Shepherd, and Damon repeated Christian Shepherd, etc. So is there, and this is continuing the Damon quote, so is there something that happened between the end of last season, you know, when Alex appeared to Ben, what happened, Carlton? And Carlton says, yes, I think that the critical event was Jacob's death. The Man in Black may have had the ability to take multiple forms, but after Jacob died, I think it's a very likely explanation that he was stuck in the form that he was in when Jacob died, which happened to be John Locke. So that's the answer that they gave to that. So in case there was any confusion about that, that is their answer. Basically that when Jacob died, that the Man in Black got stuck. He wasn't able to change forms outside of his smoke monster self and this one human form, which he's stuck in, which is the form of John Locke. Okay. So I think that'll do it for the official podcast. The only thing left for this show, we're going to talk briefly about the preview for next week's episode. There was a lot revealed in this particular preview. A couple of the recent previews, they haven't really shown much, but this one told, I think, a lot about the upcoming episode. First of all, Richard says, "You want to know a secret? Something I've known a long time. All this? It's not what you think it is." And it seems as though he's talking about the island, which, you know, there could be major revelations possibly in the next episode. The narrator says, "Now his incredible story will be revealed." So apparently this is going to be a Richard-centric episode, and we're going to get a lot of information about Richard's backstory, and, you know, presumably it will probably be confirmed that he came to the island on the Black Rock, since that was hinted at, was it last week? In any case, yeah, when he had the conversation with Richard and so forth, when Jack and Richard were having the conversation. And, anyway, so the narrator also said there are 8 episodes left until the series finale. So isn't that crazy to think we're actually halfway through? Like, we've got 8 episodes under our belt, and then they said there's 8 episodes left until the series finale. So if I'm understanding that right, and I don't know, I could look this up, but I'm always afraid of accidentally running across some spoilers or something. But it sounds like 8 episodes left until the series finale. If it's going to be like an hour or a 2-hour finale, then that probably means there's like 10 episodes left or 9 weeks left is what it sounds like to me. I don't know. But Richard says, "I've seen things on this island that you'd never imagine." That was the last sort of interesting quote from the preview. The preview is up on YouTube, and I'll put a link to that, of course, in the show notes. I just pasted it in the chat for anyone who wants to watch that over and over again and, like, you know, look for little details in it. So it sounds like it's going to be a really awesome episode next week. It's really cool. I can't wait to hear and, you know, see what happens in Richard's backstory. I think that's going to be really fascinating, and hopefully it will be. anybody else have any comments or anything before we close out the show? Of course, you can always email me at thelostmeister@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail at area code 90925 Josh M, for short for Josh, the Josh Meister. So again, that's 90925 Josh M is where you can leave me voicemail. And of course, everybody's always welcome back next week. If you haven't called into the live show before or listened in and you want to listen live, or if it's just been a while since you've listened live, come on over, and we of course record right after the show ends in the Pacific time zone. So, that's, you know, I guess about 10:05 PM Pacific, Pacific daylight time. We're on daylight time now as of this week. And, so come and check it out. Listen to the live show. It's always a lot of fun. We've got some great people in the chat who, you know, always have good theories, and occasionally, a couple of good, guests from other podcasts or other, places who call in. So, so make sure to stay tuned. I think we're going to have a lot of fun the remainder of this final season of Lost. It's sad that it's all coming to an end soon enough, but we're going to enjoy the heck out of it while we can. So until next time, stay lost and namaste. If you have a product or service that you'd like to market to thousands of Lost fans, find out how you can become a sponsor of this podcast. Send an email to thelostmeister@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Please check out the Josh Meister's Lost blog for links related to this podcast. The address again is thelostmeister, that's thelostmeister.blogspot.com. Thank you, and namaste.